In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, when Our Lady appeared in 1917 to the three children at Fatima, she told them that God had sent her because, she said, He wants to establish in the world devotion to My Immaculate Heart. So to begin this month of May, let's speak about Our Lady and what she told us at Fatima. This heart, she told them, her Immaculate Heart, will be your refuge and the way that will lead you to God. And so by devotion to her heart, she said God would save many souls of sinners who would otherwise go to hell. She revealed also that the peace of the whole world also depends on her, in particular under her title of Our Lady of the Rosary, as she told the children at the beginning of the most important of her apparitions on July 13th, continue to pray the Rosary every day in honor of Our Lady of the Rosary in order to obtain peace for the world and the end of the war, because she alone can help you. That is the end of the First World War, which effectively did finish the next year. Now, she made this even more explicit later when she told Lucia that God would convert Russia and give peace to the world only if the Pope, together with all the bishops, would consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart. Now, this was not done, and effectively, as she had predicted, peace was again taken away from the world, and communism spread over the whole world, causing many wars, the Second World War, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, just to mention the ones that we are particularly familiar with. Now, all of this can be summed up by saying that at Fatima, God revealed once more and very solemnly something that the Catholic Church has always taught, but which more and more of her popes and saints have taught more and more explicitly as the centuries have gone by, namely that God wishes to establish in the world the reign of His Holy Mother, and by this means establish His reign there more perfectly. So let us speak then this morning about this reign of Mary and its great importance for each one of us and for the whole world. To do this, we will use a book by St. Louis de Montfort that every Catholic should read, the book entitled True Devotion to Mary. At the very beginning of this book, we read a phrase that perfectly expresses what we just saw in the message of Fatima. He writes, "It was through the Most Holy Virgin Mary that Jesus came into the world. And it is also through her that He has to reign in the world." So let us just stop and reflect for a moment on this phrase. It was through the Most Holy Virgin Mary that Jesus came into the world, and it is also through her that He has to reign in the world. Yes, it was through the Most Holy Virgin Mary that our Lord came into the world. We mustn't forget that. As St. Louis de Montfort says in another passage in his book, "It was only through Mary that God the Father gave His only begotten to the world. Whatever sighs the patriarchs may have sent forth, whatever prayers the prophets and saints of the old law may have offered up to obtain this treasure for full 4,000 years, it was only Mary who merited it. and found grace before God by the force of her prayers and the eminence of her virtues. The world was unworthy, says St. Augustine, to receive the Son of God directly from the Father's hands. He gave him to Mary in order that the world might receive him through her. So we must never forget that, dear faithful. If it wasn't for the Blessed Virgin Mary, if there hadn't been this immaculate being, entirely perfect, without stain, the Savior of the world would never have come into the world to save it. It was necessary that there be at least this one little patch on the earth that was pure enough to receive him, him who is sanctity itself. He needed, as it were, a landing strip, a perfectly smooth place on the earth without the least dip or bump in it, so he could land here and live among us. And this perfect landing strip was the Immaculate Virgin Mary. But if our Lord came into this earth, it was in order to establish his reign there. That is to say, to submit all men to his divine law, which would lead them to heaven, if only they would accept it and keep it. To do that, however, men have need again of the Most Holy Virgin Mary. And so St. William Montfort adds, it is also by her that Jesus Christ has to reign in the world. It's only through her that he came into the world, and it's only through her that he is going to reign in the world. That is, it's only by her that men will be able to accept and keep the law of Christ and thus make their way to heaven. Just as it was through Mary and only through Mary that God came into the world and came to us, so it is through Mary and only through Mary that we have to go to him and go to heaven. Her Immaculate Heart truly is, as she said, the way that will lead you to God, and it's the only way. And if we think about that for a minute, it's very logical. If God did not judge it fitting to come to us without passing through Mary, who are we to decide that we can go directly to him without passing through her, like the Protestants pretend? If he needed her, as it were, to come to us, we must not imagine that we don't need her to go to him. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux expresses this beautifully in a little phrase, where he says, praying to Our Lady, per te nos suscipiat qui per te datus est nobis. May he receive us through you, who was given to us through you. He came through us through her, and we have to go to him through her. And that's why we call her in her litany, Porta Caeli, Gate of Heaven. She really is. She's the gate through which heaven came to us, and it's the gate that we have to go to heaven. That's why St. Louis de Montfort again concludes the introduction to his book saying, if then as is certain the knowledge and the kingdom of Jesus Christ are to come into the world, they will be but a necessary consequence of the knowledge and the kingdom of the Most Holy Virgin Mary, who brought him into the world for the first time and will make his second advent full of splendor. So Mary really is, as it were, the Alpha and the Omega of the reign of Christ in the world. She's the beginning and the end of his reign in the world. As St. Louis de Montfort says again in the same book, it was through Mary that the salvation of the world was begun, and it's through Mary that it must be consummated. For God is eternal. He doesn't change. So if he began his work of salvation by Mary, he's going to continue it and consummate it through her as well, since she, for her part, has always perfectly accomplished the role God assigned to her and never gave him any reason to take it away from her. As St. Nunamat Frederic again says, Mary is the spouse of the Holy Ghost, in whom he produces Jesus Christ and all the elect. He has never repudiated her, because she has always been fruitful and faithful. And he writes as well, the conduct which the three persons of the Most Holy Trinity have deigned to pursue in the incarnation and the first coming of Jesus Christ, they will pursue daily in an invisible manner throughout the whole church. And they will still pursue it even to the consummation of ages in the last coming of Jesus Christ. So we see by all this then the importance of the reign of Mary. It's the will of God that by this reign of Mary and by it alone, the reign of Jesus must come. Just as it was by her alone that Jesus himself came to the earth. And that's the truth that the apparitions of Fatima came to confirm and publish throughout the whole world. So we can see by this just how mistaken the authorities of the church were at Vatican II, when they decided to tone down the church's teaching on Our Lady out of fear of offending the Protestants and harming ecumenism. Now, no doubt they put Our Lady aside in this way with the best of intentions, thinking that in this way they would advance the growth and the kingdom of God on earth. They imagined that they would avoid shocking these non-Catholics and thus bring them closer to the church. Well, the 60 years that have passed since the council show just how wrong they were and how what they thought was a shrewd maneuver that would bring people into the church has just done precisely the opposite. Instead of making non-Catholics come closer to the church, this putting aside of Our Lady has resulted in millions of people leaving the church. And even the church herself coming closer to Protestantism and all these false religions, as unfortunately we see every day. Far from advancing the reign of God, this is putting the church to the point of almost completely disappearing. In the diocese where I was in France for 25 years, in Angers, for example, and this is the same everywhere all over the world, there was an 80% drop of parishes. And there used to be 418 parishes in the diocese of Angers, and now there's 85. That's an 80% drop. They call this renewal. So imagine if you're in your business, you had an 80% drop of business. You would call that a renewal? In certain dioceses in France, in 10 years, there will only be 10 priests left. And the bishops had a meeting in Lourdes, as they do every year, and there was proposed to talk about vocations. And they said, no, we don't want to talk about that because it's too depressing. Because there are no vocations. So this is what happens when we leave Mary aside. That's what happens. The kingdom of God falls apart. Because the reign of Mary is the only way for God to reign in the world. And unfortunately, the authorities in church have forgotten this truth and even acted in complete opposition to it. Now, this opposition takes many forms. But the most blatant example of it, and the one which is no doubt at the root of the problem, is this obstinate refusal of the Pope and the bishops to obey this explicit request of the Queen of Heaven at Fatima, where she asked them to consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart. Ever since the popes have refused, starting back already in the 1930s, to do that, things have just gone from bad to worse. And it makes perfect sense, since we've seen everything depends on the reign of Mary. That's God's will. If the authorities of the church disobey her, things have to go badly. And they have disobeyed, and they continue to disobey, and so things are going badly and will continue to go badly until that changes. It can't be otherwise. The present situation in the church and in the world is just a confirmation of the truth of this doctrine and of the message of Our Lady at Fatima. So instead of being so shrewd, if those in authority would simply obey Our Lady, they would see how much better things would go. They would do well to read another little passage in St. Louis de Montfort's book where he says, "We make more progress in a brief period of submission to and dependence on Mary than in whole years of following our own will and of relying upon ourselves." Now, several popes have partially fulfilled the request of Our Lady, but they have never done it as she asked for. And we know that one day the Pope, if it's not the present one, it will be another, will finally do this consecration, and that the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary will follow it. So let us try by our prayers and penance to hasten this blessed day so that the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is presently banished from the world, might be restored. It's by submission to Mary, to her reign, that Jesus must reign. The present history of the world and of the church confirms this. In order that this reign of Mary might come, let us, first of all, submit ourselves to her. Let ourselves do her will in our daily life. We're saddened by the fact that the Pope and the bishops don't do what she's asking them, but are we doing what she asks of us? Are there things in our own lives that the Blessed Virgin is asking of us in which we refuse to listen to her about? It might be a bad habit, like watching television, or the way we dress, or our prayer life. Are we saying the rosary every day, as she asked at Fatima? These little children, one was 7 years old, to say the rosary every day. Are we doing that? Are we obeying her? Also at Fatima, Our Lady asked us to make reparation for the sins committed against her Immaculate Heart by performing the devotions of the first Saturday, which she clearly spelled out. That is, on the first Saturday of every month for 5 consecutive months, to go to confession and communion, say 5 decades of the rosary, and pass 15 minutes meditating on the mysteries of the rosary with the intention of repairing for the sins committed against her Immaculate Heart. To the Pope and the bishops, he asked the consecration of Russia. We can't do anything about that directly. But what she asked of us is this: have we done it? The best way for each of us to hasten the coming of the reign of Mary in the world, and this, in particular, this consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart, is certainly to live out concretely in our own lives what she asked for. And this means this personal submission of each one of us to her will. This is what St. Maximilian Kolbe says in a quote with which we can conclude. "When will she take possession of the whole world? Like she knew that he would. He knew about Fatima, even though he had never heard of it. But he knew the secret. He knew that she was going to reign. Just a matter of when. When will she take possession of the whole world? In my opinion, there is no better way to hasten this blessed moment than that each of us make the effort each day to deepen in ourselves our own consecration to the Immaculata. So here we are at the beginning of the month of May. This is something we should think about. There'll be a perfect way to pass this month of Our Lady to deepen our personal consecration to the Immaculata. The more perfectly we belong to her, the more she will be able to guide us. And she will, if we let her. The more perfectly we belong to her, the more she will be able to guide us. And one cannot imagine an action more efficacious than that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.